The Bloomington City Council has rejected a request for a liquor license from a business that wanted to open on Morris Avenue near Miller Park. Mayor Terry Renner is in studio with GLT's Ryan Dunham to talk about that vote and more from last night's City Council meeting.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after the regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here.
So this vote last night, the council rejecting the liquor license request from Park Pantry, happened in part because of a lot of neighborhood opposition. Many neighbors said that they did not want another place where you could buy alcohol in that neighborhood. What did you think of the council's decision, this 5-4 vote to reject the license?
Well, I think ultimately, obviously, it does reflect the division on the council. The Liquor Commission was 2-1 in favor of it. But it is this classic trade-off between what some of the neighbors are saying, at least some of the more vocal neighbors. There were some that were in favor of it. And then on the other hand, economic development. It is a site that we want to encourage investment, especially over $500,000 investment that the proprietor was proposing in a convenience store. Convenience stores in Bloomington Normal and most places do typically involve selling some sort of alcohol. There's only one in Bloomington Normal that does not currently. So that was not an unreasonable request. This person has a good record. I think, you know, it would have been a positive for the neighborhood. But and there were lots of restrictions on that, by the way. We made sure that it's a liquor commission. He had to close at 11 o'clock at night. There had to be cameras. There had to be lighting, automatic lighting. They could not sell single serves. And so when we would go back and monitor them, you know, within 6 months, because their alcohol sales had to be well under 50% of their sales. So there were a variety of, you know, conditions. But and the council was divided, even, you know, many of those who voted no. So it really was a tough vote and a very, very tough decision to make.
Hmm. Were there other conditions that you could have considered at the Liquor Commission level that might have got this over the 5-4 vote into a supportive position from the council?
That's an excellent question. I'd not have thought about that myself. But possibly the only other thing we could have said, I mean, we had single serves 24 ounces and below, and that's partly because bottles of wine are 25.3 ounces. So we wanted them to sell a bottle of wine if you wanted to pick up a bottle of wine for dinner or something. But we could conceivably have, and one of the aldermen mentioned last night, no single serves for alcohol or beer below 32 ounces or something like that. And I thought maybe that would precipitate an amendment. It did not. I don't know. That might have been the only thing. I mean, pretty much we put all the teeth into it that we possibly could have, you know, at the Liquor Commission. And as I say, even the Liquor Commission was divided.
Hmm. And, you know, you being technically the city's liquor commissioner, mm-hmm. It sounds like you would have... You talk about a spectrum here, right? So
right.
You got to balance the economic development side versus the neighborhood concern side. It sounds like, from what you're saying, that you probably would have gone ahead with this.
I did. I mean, at the Liquor Commission, I had one liquor commissioner say no and one liquor commissioner say yes. And so they were divided. And in a sense, I broke the tie and said yes. But I did, you know, talk to, you know, in the meeting to the neighbors who were there. And try to explain why, and also to the proprietor to say, you know, in a sense, we will be watching you if this is approved. Now, it needed to be also approved by the city council, which obviously it was rejected last night by 5-4. And so, you know, we will see what happens with that property. It is a property, if you've ever been out there, that really cries for something. And so as mayor, I think that as, you know, mayor and liquor commissioner, we could certainly have monitored it. The sins of the 47-year liquor store of the past, I don't think are fair to totally put on the new proprietor. The police have said that, you know, they didn't seem to have any issues with that, you know, sort of serious issues. So for a variety of reasons, I would have gone forward with that $500,000-some investment. But while we might have been on the prevailing side on the Liquor Commission, that was not the case with the City Council. And obviously, we have to accept that and move forward and try to make progress in other ways.
So either after the meeting or sometime today, has the city heard from the person who wanted to open Park Pantry, this Ajit Singh, or his attorney to see where his head is at this point, if he's going to come back or try to do something else with that property? Is there any sense of what he might do next?
No, I think it was pretty clear that
if
in order to make a convenience store work, as I say, we've only got one in all of Bloomington Normal that does not sell alcohol. So I think he needed a liquor license. And certainly a resident suggested that he operate without liquor for 6 months and let's see how we like you. The problem with that is he's then would obviously have invested his $590,000 or $580,000 into the establishment and may not be making a profit. And then if in 6 months he doesn't get a liquor license, he spent all that money on a business that's not profitable. So I can understand where he's coming from. I understand certainly where the residents are coming from. And we were trying to come up with or fashion a reasonable compromise.
So last night was an example of the city council listening to community concerns about, in this case, alcohol sales. You know, this is the same council that also enacted a moratorium on new video gambling machines. I don't know. What do you think that we're learning about where this council is on these so-called, you know, issues of vice, these things that are legal but also have a darker component to it if abused?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. I think that's still forming. Some of it is, you know, again, we have 4 out of 9 council members that have only been serving a couple months, and it takes a while to begin to kind of sift through all of the social media chatter as opposed to the concerns. I prefer people just tell you one-on-one, or when they come to my open houses, you know, they, you know, we can talk and kind of work through some things. I prefer that kind of communication because anybody can say whatever they want on social media. So I tend to view that as noise. And if you really want to come talk to me, come talk to me in my open house, or at least email me or something, or give me a phone call, whatever. So I think that's something that takes a little while to learn. Again, I was on the county board for 12 years before being mayor. So you get some sense of how you kind of go through some triage there. You know, those that are the most strong, credible voices, those that, you know, maybe aren't so credible, but they've got some good points, and those that, frankly, are sometimes just making stuff up and don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, too, as the marijuana legalization stuff rolls out.
Yes.
I mean, that's a very – it's a sort of an analog, parallel issue where the council could face a decision about a vice-related thing.
Oh, we will. There's no question about that. We will. And actually, Alderwoman Carrillo last night had asked to form a task force, and she's going to be talking about that. And that actually seems like a reasonable request for me. I'm glad that the council is going to begin to talk about it because one way or another, it's going to happen. We're going to have to face that issue. And so being prepared in advance, I think, is a very good thing.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here in studio with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Mayor Renner, less than a week ago, we learned that State Farm has decided to demolish its former headquarters building in downtown Bloomington after its initial plans to sell the building fell through. WGLT, we spoke to you a few hours after that was announced, but now that some time has passed, what do you make of that decision and what it could mean for downtown?
Well, I think if it were to go through, obviously it would be bad for downtown, and I will do everything I can, and I think the council is united in trying to do everything that we can to prevent demolition of the State Farm building downtown, and there are many things that we are working on right now over the next couple of weeks, and we will see whether or not they bear fruit.
So the demolishing decision was a bit surprising to at least us in the outside world, folks in the media. We thought a sale was going to be happening.
Right.
How much warning do you and the city get when a decision like that is made?
Well, it depends on the decision. In this case, we heard, I believe, Tim Gleason heard about 90 minutes before it was released, and Tim called me. So I probably heard maybe 85 minutes or so, you know, before it happened. It obviously was surprising. It wasn't totally shocking because we know that it's been something that they've been interested in and acting upon. But certainly there's certainly still some options that I think we can pursue in working with State Farm over the next few weeks.
Does that strike you as odd that the city only gets an hour and a half heads up on something like that?
Well, I think that's up to the individual business or whatever. I mean, the State Farm owns the building, so or whoever decides on doing whatever they're going to do. You know, private businesses can do what they'd like to do. So I don't know what the timetable was at their end or what other things they were facing. That's really hard to say. Obviously, I'm not in their shoes, so I can't really comment on that.
Because it seems like if the city, you and the city manager, is interested in trying to stop demolition from happening, finding some other solution here, it feels like those negotiations could have been happening, you know, behind the scenes before an announcement is made like this. It strikes me the timing is seems odd.
Yes, I think that we've certainly been in touch with State Farm from the moment that they decided that they wanted to sell the building. We've had a lot of conversations with the people who were the potential buyers and their agents about how we might help try to promote the renting out of the various floors. And that's some of it, is just the nature. I mean, it's an incredible building for us. It's got great historic value. And as we understand, it's in pretty good shape. But it is somewhat awkward. It's not the obvious building that a single business or even two businesses would just come in and occupy. You'd have to have lots of different tenants. And so there could be any number of possibilities moving forward, and those are, you know, things that we want to explore. But certainly I'm committed, and as I say, the council's committed to doing anything we can to prevent demolition.
Hmm. Well, to that end, there is a new part of the city's zoning code that is what's called a demolition review process, where
correct.
Once a property owner is pursuing demolition, they file that permit. That permit goes through a review process if the building is X number of years old. That's a very formal way for the city to try to intervene.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're talking about a more informal conversation.
I'm talking about much more informal, absolutely.
Yeah, is that mechanism, though, something you think the city would employ if these informal talks don't yield what you want?
That would really have to be up to the council and the zoning board. That's not something necessarily that I would advocate. I think at this point we're having informal conversations.
Gotcha. Well, there are a lot of government agencies, government things that are downtown that
right.
may or may not be looking for homes, right? Connect Transit is looking for a spot to put a transfer center. The library has talked about needing more space.
Even City Hall, I mean, it was
City Hall, yeah.
Normal has put in two City Halls since we built ours. Ours, as I joke, was built in the era of Mad Men. It's just we don't have the alcohol and the tobacco that's used in it compared to episodes of Mad Men. So I believe it was 1960 that it was built. So
Do you think there's a government use potentially for a building like the State Farm building?
Not the whole thing, but for certainly for parts of it, yes.
So the current City Hall, as you say, is from the era of Mad Men. In what ways that's a joke, but in what ways is it actually not meeting the city's needs?
We're way too big, and we have, I mean, it was built in a time where Bloomington had 30-some thousand people, and we have now 80,000 people. We have a $220 million budget. We've got many other needs. It's also, frankly, if we have serious investors coming from out of town that might want to invest, it's embarrassing to meet in my office, for example. So now it's better to meet in Chris Koos's office or to meet in other places. But basically, it's the same stained carpet that was there 27, 28 years ago, even the same furniture, the same everything. And certainly when I came in, the city manager had said, you know, what do you want to do to redecorate your office? And I said, nothing. No, I don't want to spend any, you know, taxpayer money on it. But we do have downtown artists who have are displaying their works in the city at no cost to taxpayers, of course. So some of that was, you know, there's a variety of reasons why the current City Hall is not really a showcase for much of anything other than maybe 1960 or 1961.
So right after State Farm said that it was planning to demolish the building downtown, City Manager Tim Gleason, we got a statement from him, and one of the things he said was, quote, "Today's announcement is a reality that must be accepted." So that statement makes it sound like it's a done deal and the city's willing to accept demolition. So I guess what changed between then and now?
I think their decision is a reality. I don't know that it's a reality that is to be accepted that we can't do anything about and that we might not have some informal conversations about. including obviously would have to involve Mr. Gleason as a city manager, as well as myself as mayor. And then if some things bear fruit, then we branch out from there. And so I would say stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We will be staying tuned. But if nothing does change, if State Farm does move ahead with this in a few months, demolition process begins, takes a year or more, we could actually see the State Farm building be demolished before the front and center building. And I want to ask, is
that's a crime.
Would that be a disappointing prospect to you to see that the order
disappointing
of that
doesn't even touch that, Ryan? Yeah, the front. This is another question, another example of about downtown development is obviously, you're often dealing with, as you are, many many different stakeholders. Sometimes even on the same block, as with the front and center building, there's actually two owners. The front and center block, not the building, and some will acquire properties and just let them rot. Not State Farm, of course, but the front and center building. And it's the largest fire hazard in our downtown.
Well, I feel like I've asked you
a strategic property, you know.
This question, though, I've asked you this question probably for a year or two now. You know, is the city any closer today than it was a year ago to pursuing eminent domain or some sort of legal maneuver to try to get front and center?
Yes. I can't say much more than that because it's a legal issue. But it's a much longer, much more complicated process than if you could just sit down and work out a fair market deal for somebody. The one thing that is critical that certainly the people in Uptown learned is if you own property, you can control it. If you don't own the property, then you can't. And that can be a serious problem in trying to have the highest and best usage for your properties. If you think about Uptown 15 years ago, you had vacant buildings, vacant lots, an EPA Superfund waste site, and now it's an engine of economic growth. And that was because you had determined political leadership over a long period of time, 2 decades, continue to push. And I can assure you, I'm determined. Our situation is different. We've got a larger area. We've got good bones. We don't have as many problems with vacant buildings and vacant properties. We've got different challenges. And we also don't have ISU right next door to us.
Nor do you have an Uptown mural.
No, we do not have an Uptown mural. But we do have a mural that welcomes you into the city of Bloomington on Market Street. A beautiful mural that I hope is award-winning.
That is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. 2 weeks from now, you'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos.